I want you to prepare your hearts to study a little bit on worship, what true worship is. True worship in spirit and truth. Because this is going to tie in with what we've been studying about the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I just pray right now that it would not be my words that are spoken today, but, Father, the words that you intend to speak to each one of our hearts, including my own, about Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that it's your anointing that begins and finishes this message, Lord, so that we leave here with a better understanding of how you flow and you function today in our lives, so that we truly can be the hands and feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. So last week we talked about the Holy Spirit, and we said that Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. That's Scripture. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. There is nothing untruthful about God. God is not a man that he should lie. So we know that truth resides with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit resides in those who have professed Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior, right? And so truth is in us. Doesn't always come out of us. Sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we, you know, suppress the truth. But ultimately, should you desire to yield, truth should be emanating from you. Because the spirit of truth, of absolute truth, not the things that the world tries to taint, not the things that try to stick their little bony finger, the devil tries to get his little foot in there and try to take that 1% of lie and put it into 99% of truth. No, God is 100% truth. It's in the Holy Spirit in you, and so that's what we need to be headed towards. Because otherwise you will be led up slowly, right, a slow fade into ungodliness or false belief. Or false teaching. And that's what we want to stay clear of and God calls us to. So we know that the Holy Spirit is the source of all truth, taking from the Father, giving to us. So I ask you, are you being guided by the Spirit of truth? Are you being guided by the Spirit of truth? Or what's your measure? What do you go by? I mean, most people would say we go by this. Okay? The devil knows the beginning from the end of this book, especially the end, as of late, right? And yet he rebels against God. These words were inspired by the Holy Spirit to the men that wrote it. This isn't a man's book, this is God's book. If the Holy Spirit inspired the men to write it, don't you think the Holy Spirit can inspire you to understand it? And to use wisdom by it, and to take the pages and the words that are here and manifest them in actual works and actual understanding to apply so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. He came to destroy the works of the enemy, which we should be doing, and to seek and save the lost. That's our mission. He's left us here to do that, or he would have raptured us right away. And what I'm trying to say is that the rhema of God, the understanding and wisdom that comes from the logos, the written word, is the same Holy Spirit who inspired it to write it down, can inspire it in you to manifest it. Does that make sense? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same Holy Spirit that wrote this can write the book in you and bring forth God's purpose for you in your life. You can know it. You don't have to, I wonder what it is. Somebody said it, the closer you get to God, the more we get close to him, the better we see him. The better we understand him when we're near, right? When you're close to somebody, you can see every little thing. When we're further away, it's hard to make out exactly what, you know, that blur you were talking about. We don't see much through the blur and the fog. But when the fog clears and the Holy Spirit manifests, it's so easy. Well, it's easy to see it. It's a whole other thing to do it. That's the hard part. Obeying God and the things that he shows you, especially when you don't understand it or it's against the grain or it's what you've been previously taught or it's something that you just don't want to do. Mm-hmm. Are you listening to his teaching? Oh, you may be hearing it, but are you listening? There's a difference. See, the Holy Spirit will help you discern between truth and false belief. You want to know how to get rid of false belief in your life, even if you think that, you know, it's truth to you now, but then when the truth of the Holy Spirit comes in, He can dislodge that false belief that men taught you, and it becomes part of who you are in God. That's what God desires of us. He wants us to understand and discern and to read and to have that revelation knowledge. And that comes from Him, not people. He uses people, but you got to understand that people will use people. And because of that, we have to discern what's right and what's wrong and who is really in the anointing and who's functioning under the unction of the Holy Spirit and who's not. And it's not really difficult when you're walking with God. Often false religious beliefs will control your life and keep you from experiencing the fullness of the Spirit. We see that every day in a lot of denominations that don't teach the fivefold ministry. Paul describes the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and pastor and teacher to be there to raise up the church and equip the saints for works of service. He didn't leave out the first two. The apostle means sent one. People are sending out apostles to establish churches and be spiritual fathers all the time. Paul was a spiritual father and called an apostle. Titus and Timothy were apostles. There were many more apostles other than the original 12. Now, there were only 12 apostles of Jesus, but other churches have men that are fathers and plant churches that are called to be sent out to be apostles. That's why God placed it within the church to do such things. And the prophetic word, where has that ever changed? God still downloads in men to reveal to his heart to the people. But if we say they don't exist, then what you will do is limit your understanding of Scripture and limit the church and limit the power of the church, because we can understand what a teacher is and a preacher is and an evangelist is, so we'll just stick to that of what we know. But we won't venture out into the deeper water of where now you have to rely on the Holy Spirit to show up to go into the apostolic and prophetic. See, anybody can teach and preach and anybody can evangelize in their own strength, but to be apostolic or prophetic, the Holy Spirit's got to be at work and that's supernatural, otherwise it ain't going to happen. Or when it tries to happen, we recognize it as something that, you know, is hypocritical, as I heard my brother say before. We become hypocrites. We misrepresent God. The tongue, the interpretation of tongue, when it's not of God and it's all gibberish or whatever from somebody who's just grown up in the Pentecostal church and it's not really a gift that God has given and not operating as that gift, then that's what puts and taints people to think that, oh, we throw the baby out with the bathwater. It doesn't exist. But yet Paul says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. But yet it's the least of all the gifts. We need to have a better understanding of allowing Holy Spirit to teach us. And then when we get something new that goes against the grain of what we already know, understand that you don't know everything. Therefore, something new can come in. Not new to this, but new to you. You see, Holy Spirit takes the truth of God's word and teaches it to us in every place, for every person, in every situation, in every time. In other words, He didn't miss it. We do. He doesn't. John 14:17. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Amen to that. They don't want to hear the truth because it changes the way they're going to have to live. It changes what they believe. Oh, I like that too much. That I told you I was praying for. He says, I just love fornication and stuff like that. It's fun. I'm sure it is. It's sending you straight to hell, but yeah, it might be fun now. Can't live forever. I enjoy drinking so much and getting drunk and being out of my mind and stuff like that. I'm sure it is for the moment until you're barfing in the morning in the bathroom. But more importantly, it's an offense to God because you're changing your state of being and mind. Drunkenness, it's a state of being. All these things that God does not want and lists as those things that He does not approve of, to get them out of your life, as we just heard, get the shaft out and get Holy Spirit in. And now He tells me on the phone, I don't even have a desire for it. How does that happen? But God, when we allow it to happen. Spirit of truth, the world can't receive because it does not see Him or know Him. Just because we don't see Him or know Him doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I don't see the people living in Japan right now, but I know that they're there. Has anybody ever been to Japan? Not been to Japan? Then how do you really know that there's the Japanese? I mean, come on, let's just get real. God's given us intellect. He's given us things to relate to this world with. There's things that we don't see that we believe in. How much more God who's created the universe, and when you look at all the stars, and we sang about a billion things that God's created. I mean, those little things I watch on the Nature Channel, when I see the circulatory system and I see the digestive system of this little bug that's microscopic because of man's intellect that God's given us to study these things, you see the handiwork of God. And you say, that's got to be God to see this little bug with such an intricate system. And a spider that can take a little strand of a web and throw it straight across an entire river. Where can all that string come from this little bug? How can it get across all the way across that river? That's just the Nature Channel talking. But that's God talking. He made it. But if we've got to see God, you know, I know there's a song that says that. We got to see God in everything. Because he is in it all. That doesn't mean that plant is God and we get into false doctrine. Oh, that plant's God. No. It's an artificial plant, by the way, so it's not even a real one. God created the real one. Man did the artificial. But if we don't see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. That's how you know. See, he created a vacuum. He created a void that can only be filled by him. And if you try to fill it with anything else in the world, it will never, ever get filled the way that God can fill it. And you know you got him when you're full of him. And he says, be filled every day, because a lot of times the world's going to drag it out of you every day. You've got to get filled and filled and refilled. John 5:26. For just as the Father has life in himself, he's always been, he always was. There wasn't a beginning, there wasn't an end. I don't understand that, never will. Maybe when I get to be with him, I'll understand that. But eternity past, eternity future, I mean, that'll just boggle your brain if you allow it to, because you remember, you're just the created being. And he's the creator. But he's been around forever. He has life in himself. Even so, he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. Same life as God has. He's equal with the Father, yet he allowed himself to become a man. We talked about that in our Bible study yesterday. He humbled himself to become a man just so that we as human beings can understand the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to the Father is through the Son. Because he exemplified fully what the Father's all about. Or at least he tried to tell the people. And we're still trying to tell the people. He gave life to the Son and also life in himself. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, and he has come, he will guide you into all the truth, not some of it, but all of it. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he's going to speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. That's called prophecy, folks. But yeah, we don't believe in prophecy because, you know, it died with the apostles. How does prophecy die? It's not even a person. You'll hear it from a lot of churches. Well, prophecy no longer exists today. We have the Word of God, and it's sufficient. Okay, well, where does prophecy come from? The Holy Spirit. Well, where does the Holy Spirit live? In us. I said, so where did it go? Did the Holy Spirit go, oh, we'll just drop this attribute, and I'm going to drop that attribute, and I'm not going to function this way anymore? Yes, methodologies change, but the same Holy Spirit, same God, he speaks what the Father discloses him to tell us. Are we listening? Not just hearing. Are we listening? I ask you, are you hungry for such truth? The psalmist tells us how much value there is in God's word. And we have no better teacher to inspire us and help us follow this word than the Holy Spirit who lives in us. He is called the Spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and I'm using the capital A-N-D there, and understanding. All three, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon who? Capital H, him, Jesus. The Spirit of what? What he's saying, okay, Jesus is going to receive the Holy Spirit like we can receive the Holy Spirit. Remember, he got the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. He was empowered for ministry at that time, just like you're empowered for ministry when you accept Jesus. And what comes in you? the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord, reverence for God the Father. As the Holy Spirit says, I'm only going to do what the Father does. As Jesus says, I'm only going to do what the Father does. You can see that the triunity of God, the triunity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's a hierarchy, yet they are one. Jesus says, you don't pray to me, we pray our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be the name. I allow you and give you the opportunity to have access to the Father to pray, and the Holy Spirit empowers you to pray. Can you see the purposes of God and all of his attributes? They're one, yet they're three. Yeah. One day fully we'll understand the whole process of that. But it's the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So you see wisdom and understanding and knowledge and counsel and all of it. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Wow, they seem to be coupled together here a few places. You need all three is what he's saying. You need all three. Some people are knowledgeable and practical but have no wisdom. You've met them. Wisdom is defined as seeing things from God's perspective. So many times we just want to view from our own perspective and we never get God's perspective on it. Wisdom is saying, you know what? I don't need to be preaching to you guys today. God needs to be preaching to you guys today. That's wisdom. Because otherwise, it would just fall flat on my face. It'd go in one ear and out the other. It still may be doing that. You know, it just depends on what's in between. It's stopping it. You have to be able to receive. Right? Wisdom is defined as seeing things from God's perspective. For God sees the beginning from the end. Aren't you glad about that? He knows the hairs on your head. He knew you in your mother's womb before you were born. He knows the very day that you'll be with him. You don't. He does. His wisdom is the long look. The long look. Knowledge now is the word of God and being intimate with it. This is the word of God. If you don't open it up, you can't be intimate with something that you've never been that you don't approach. You can't be intimate with your wife unless you get close. You can't get intimate with this word unless you get close to it. Knowledge comes from this. Holy Spirit then inspires it and gives you wisdom to apply it, like I said before. It worked together. If all you do is get a whole bunch of knowledge and spew it off to people and stuff like that without any wisdom to apply it, all it does is puffeth you up. And you think you're something. And you got a degree on the wall that says you know a lot. Oh boy, God probably goes, yeah, well, that's really impressive. Let me show you my degrees. And they come in Fahrenheit and Celsius. Sometimes God gives you stuff you don't plan on in your notes. Understanding, let's get to that. We got wisdom, we got knowledge. Understanding is the application of the Word of God in time and space, applied in the right time and in the right way. Oh, is that important? The right time and the right way. So, in what ways does Holy Spirit teach us the truth of this Word? Well, you got it. One is quieting yourself before him, right? Sometimes it's not saying anything. It's just sitting there and looking out at the bird on the top of the tree. Quiet yourself before the Lord. Daily reading of this scripture. There's no substitute for that. None whatsoever. That's how we acquire. You got to get the knowledge so that understanding can take place. No knowledge, no understanding. Studying and meditating on God's word. It's not just reading it. Study it. Meditate on it. Go back to the original Greek and Hebrew. Look stuff up. Be productive. Dig deeper and deeper. Go into the deeper water. Don't just stay superficial with your studies. Well, that's just for the teachers and stuff like that. No, it's for all of us if we want to draw near to God. Because that's where you're going to find him. We live by faith, not by sight. Faith is all over the scriptures. It's all over your quiet time. It's all over studying, mentoring. How about being mentored, teaching from spirit-filled men and women of God? I say spirit-filled men and women of God. Because a lot of them, Jesus is going to say, get away from me, I never knew you. Make sure that they're filled with the Spirit, they have the anointing, that means the Holy Spirit is speaking through them, the water of the words over them, and it's being practical in your life, and it ministers to you, and you bear witness to it. You want those people mentoring you in your life. You need to have a mentor. You need to be mentoring, and you need to have those that are at your same level. You need to have three relationships, those that are mentoring you, again, those that you mentor, and those that are equal to you. It's great to have all three because then it's getting poured into you, and then it's getting poured out of you, right? And then it's also being able to just fellowship. There's teaching from podcasts and radios and tapes and seminars and retreats, but you got to be careful with all that stuff because you don't really know whom you're learning from. So let the Holy Spirit who lives in you bear witness to the truth. Because there's always going to be a different source no matter where you go. Just measure it against what? The Word of God and the Holy Spirit's unction within you. Trust it. Trust that you're walking with the Lord. Trust that you can discern between right and wrong. Use these things in your life. So now I ask you this question. How do you make a right decision from the truth and the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding that we receive from these sources that the Holy Spirit's led us into? But what good is having all this if we can't apply it to our decision making? Because really, when this all comes in, before you even have a ministry, you got to make a decision. A thought comes before an action comes. Because your thought is what's going to tell you what to do. And when your thoughts are shaped by the Holy Spirit, it's going to be an action taken by God through you. But it first has to take place in you. So how do you make a right decision? I'm going to just give you a few ways to close today based on scriptural principles, okay? This is now taking the Word of God and just giving you some scriptural principles on how to make, and when you face a decision, the right one. Well, Pastor, I don't know if this is the right decision or that one. Well, here's some ways to do this, okay? Number one, when you're facing a decision, consider the choice that you're going to make. It generally comes down to, you know, sometimes it's straightforward, praise God. But a lot of times you have to make a choice when you make a decision. That's what a decision is. Yourself making a choice based on what you have currently stored here in your heart and in your head. And then you've got to come up with a decision. So consider it. What does consider mean? Step back and picture and consider the whole picture. Sometimes we get so focused in tunnel vision, we're right in the middle of the city and we can't see 2 feet in front of us. Get back up on that mountaintop and look at it from what? God's perspective. The entirety of Scripture. Don't you dare cherry pick something to make it fit your little plan so it works for you. You got to have God's entire perspective, His whole picture on your decisions. Because if you don't, anything that you're making a decision about will go along with whatever you want, because you'll somewhere in here find a scripture that will agree with you. So consider the choice you're going to make and look at the whole picture in light of the past, the present, and the future. Yes, learn from your mistakes. Learn from your past. But don't go back there and live. If you've made mistakes, move on. Repent and move on. Don't go back and try to correct everything you've done wrong as if God needs you to do that. Look at the past, look at your present, and also consider the ramifications of your choice for the future. And if you look at all three, you'll get a better perspective on that choice that you're considering. So number one, consider your choice. And also consider the end. No matter how many hours, here's the hard part. No matter how many hours, days, or years are involved before even walking into that choice. The choice you make that you're going to walk into may take hours, may take minutes, may take days. It could be years before you see the fruit of whatever it is, the choice you're making. Just look at investments, right? I'm making it practical in everyday life. Holy Spirit said, I need to invest in this, but I don't see nothing yet. Holy Spirit said, I'm healed, but I don't see nothing yet. Well, expectation is what faith is. What you hope for. The word hope means expectation in God's terms. What are you expecting? If God has spoken it, you can count on it, it'll come to pass. But He's still sovereign and it will come to pass in His timing. Not yours. So consider the end and look at everything. A fool rushes in and makes a hasty decision. You're about to make a choice and you don't even go to God. You just go with what you know. Go up to Proverbs there, 19:2. Also, it's not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps errs. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Measure your words before they come blurring out of you, because it will get you in trouble with your wife and your kids and your church and your work and everything else. You want to just go out there and say, can I take those back? Nope. Don't be hasty, in other words. Consider, number one, consider the choice. Number two, when facing your decision, take every option you have and compare it to God. I know I keep taking you to God, but that's my job. That's not my job, it's my ministry. If it was a job, I'd be a hireling and I wouldn't be worth 2 cents to you. Take every option you have and compare it to God. Again, I already told you, don't cherry pick the scripture so you can find something to back up what you want. Compare your decision to the character and nature of God as a whole. What do we say the character and nature of God was? His names. Jehovah Rapha, he's our physician. Jehovah Tsidkenu, he's our righteousness. Jehovah Machadesh, he's our sanctifier. Jehovah Shalom, he's our peace. If you look at the names of God, they describe his nature and his character. This is what we compare. Go to the Beatitudes. Go to the Ten Commandments. Compare yourself to God, the decision you're about to make. If it's going against those things, what were the commandments of the Old Testament, Pastor? Yeah, but they're still good. Jesus came. He fulfilled. He didn't take it away. He fulfilled that for you. But he never said it was bad. It's good not to murder. It's good not to steal. It's good not to covet your neighbor's wife. Don't ever think that he did away with that stuff. He fulfilled the requirement for it on the cross. Praise God. Take every option you have and compare it to God, okay? Is the decision pure? Is it holy? Is it just, righteous, loving, kind? Go with it. If it's rebellious, if you get an attitude with it, if it's hurtful, not hard, right? Thirdly, when you're facing a decision, choose the right one. No-brainer. Choose the right one. And let me tell you this, it's sometimes the difficult one. I know it's the right one, but I don't want to choose it because it will make my life difficult. And here's where you don't waver. You got to take action, and you got to take action right away. Because if you don't take action right away, you're going to waver. Especially if it's a difficult decision. Had a lot of those in life. Sometimes I've cried myself to sleep over decisions I've had to make about people that are even in here because of what they were doing, and they didn't want to listen, and they wouldn't listen. And then I took an elder or two elders with me, and they wouldn't listen. Then I took, I didn't ever had to take it before the church, because people always leave before you ever take them to the church because they know that, they're messing up. But if you allow people to mess up and just provide all of that evil inside the curtain, my job as a pastor is to protect the flock. If I allow evil just to sit there and do what it does and influence our children and influence you, what kind of a pastor would I be? I'd be back there like back in Ezekiel where it says, you pastors, you fill yourself up on people's tithes and offerings and all this kind of stuff. You didn't take care of the sickly. You didn't take care of those you were supposed to protect. You didn't take care of the sheep that was charged to you. Woe to you, Pharisees and Sadducees. Well, that's pastors today. We have the same call. We're to protect people. We're to protect the sheep. We're to instruct you in the way you should go. I'm going to be held highly accountable for your actions. So you better just start doing right, folks. Seriously, because I'm going to face God. You didn't tell him that. I'd rather you leave the church having me told you the right thing to do than for you to stay here and me not tell you the right thing to do. Just saying. Don't waver. Don't wait and say, someday I'm going to do this. How many times have we done that? Yeah, one day I'll get to it. When God says act, he means act. That's right. If someone's held you accountable and you know it's just piercing you down, and you're just about to get offended and tell them off, but you know it's the truth. Just stop it. Quench it. Just act. You're right. I got to change. Help me. You don't see that very often, but it is the right thing. Act. Don't procrastinate or miss the timing of it. Why, folks? Because if you do something right at the wrong time, it's wrong. Even if you do something right at the wrong time, it's going to be wrong. God's timing. Don't miss it. It can do more damage if you do it too early or too late. And finally, step four, and this may be the hardest one, when you're facing a decision, count the cost. I always tell you guys that. Every right decision costs you something. It has a price tag on it. It may be that change has to take place in you. Oh. It may be that change has to take place in you. Or you're going to have to spend something. Or you may have to change an attitude or a relationship or a thought pattern. Or maybe the friends you're hanging out with. Folks, do what's right regardless of the cost. I've probably said that a billion times between 1999 when we got started and now. Do what's right regardless of the cost. And that goes for anything and everyone and everybody, including your family. Wrong decisions are always cheap. Let us also remember that the Spirit of Truth, Holy Spirit, will guide you in many different ways, like we already talked about. Scripture, obtaining wise counsel, confirmation from people, an inner witness that you know that you know that you know, even circumstances in life that, you know, you just, I said the other day, well, I won't say it now. But there was a set of circumstances that led me to do something that I was unwilling to do. But God so pushed me in the right direction that I ended up being right where I didn't want to be, and I was there faced with a situation that I had to handle. And I didn't want to handle it. I wanted to handle it this way. And God said, uh-uh. I made you enough to know that you're going to listen to what I have to say. And then he said, oops, I made a mistake there. He ain't listening, okay? So then he pushed me right into the decision I needed to make. And thank God that he did. Because eventually some of us stubborn people come around to hearing the Holy Spirit and doing what he tells us to do. You know, I know I'm speaking to more than just myself. I know that I'm speaking to more than just myself. And if you don't believe me, you're lying, and you need to repent. Yep. Let me tell you one thing about the Holy Spirit. He'll always guide and lead you to what's right. He awakens a longing for truth and goodness in us. He awakens a desire for his presence. You know, you want to be around him. I mean, he's right here. You don't have to go very far. You just got to show up. He gives you a hunger. We just talked about our brother Mel, hunger and a thirst for righteousness, spiritual life and power. You know, we don't want to just know things. We want to operate in the power and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We want everything he's got to give us. I don't want anything left out. I don't want to be just sitting on what I know. I want to know what you know, God. And it takes a lot of different people to help pour into your life to give you an aspect and a perspective that you just don't have for yourself. That's why he says, don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. And operate in the spiritual gifts, because we need each other. God used the corporate body of Israel. He blessed or he cursed the corporate body. Yes, we can get things individually, but the corporateness of God is throughout Scripture. Hence why I think the United States of America is in the place that it is. We got godly people and godly churches doing godly things, but the major part of the United States of America is going into a backslide, and they are sliding fast. So if God takes his hands off of America, it's not necessarily because we're not praying enough. It's because the corporateness of what America is doing is reaching the heavens, and God is going, I am disgusted. Doesn't mean he can't change it for the few. So we can't just sit back and go, well, it's so far back that we won't do anything. That's wrong. The prayer of the righteous can accomplish much. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness, spiritual life, and power. Don't we all want that? We want to hunger for it because God wants to give it to us, right? He also gives us the gifts of as the fruit of the nature of his nature, right? The fruits. He gives us the fruit of his nature, which is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. For the purpose of doing what? resembling the same virtues so perfectly exhibited in the life of our Lord Jesus. Because they're the result of his life in us. The reason we can produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a result of the life of Christ in us. When it's in us, if we decrease and allow it to come through us, it'll pour out of us. As Christians, we are recognized by the presence of Christ's fruit in us, and I already told you that. And finally, today, he provides us with his spiritual gifts, which gives us a supernatural capacity. Your own gifts are your own gifts, and you can operate in things in this life by your own talents and stuff like that. Yeah, good for you. But you want to do things for God? You want to do things that you could never do in your own strength? You want the supernatural to work in and through you like God has promised that will do that? Like what Jesus did and said, go and do likewise? Well, then you need to understand that he provides us with the spiritual gifts to do that. Why do we need the whole body? Because some of your gifts that I don't have, that you have, that we have, we get a fuller picture of what Jesus is like when we come together. He gives us that supernatural power, that ability to enable us to exercise our function, our ministry. You really can't do what God's called you to do in your own strength. That's why he's provided you the Holy Spirit to give you the power to do so. Oh, you can give a speech and you can give an oration or whatever and stuff like that, but if it's not anointed, people aren't going to hear you. Or should I say, they may listen or not, but they won't hear or hear or not listen. It's supernatural, folks. And you can study the fruit of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit's gifts on your own or in a separate study because, again, that would require a whole separate sermon series. And we've already done it on that, and so you can go refer back to that or study on your own. But that's not for today, and it's not for now. So I suggest, as a final comment, that you rediscover what God has uniquely gifted you with. What has God uniquely gifted you with? Now, I just said what God has uniquely gifted you with, not what you would like to think you were gifted with. If nobody's coming up to you and say, I recognize that teaching gift in you, and you're going, but I'm a teacher, Pastor, and nobody confirming that in your life, you're probably not. I can sing, Pastor. All right, let me hear you. If you don't get a smile and a woo-hoo-hoo, and you're just sitting there going, you probably can't sing. I'm just saying. It's truth. Go with what God's uniquely gifted you with and not what you think you're gifted with. That's easily discerned. And if you have the guts, you'll ask other people to give you the truth that will set you free. There's a joke the old country preacher used to say, many has went when they ain't been sent. It's true. So in summary, wrap it all up. Holy Spirit is the source of truth, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, virtue, and empowerment. He uses various means to impart this to you, and it results in right decisions, right behavior, and powerful ministry. I pray that you've been receiving a greater revelation of Holy Spirit's abiding presence in your life.